College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I also caught up with Solomon Wilcott, who's really an annual guest during Super Week here on After Hours. He's one of the guys that I've gotten to know over the last decade plus. And not only is he gracious and passionate about what he does, but he's such a great talker, too. He does Sirius XM, NFL Radio. He's got the Locked On Bengals podcast. And as I was getting ready to talk to him on Tuesday evening, I was stalking him on social media and noticed he actually just took an international trip. So forget New Orleans for a second, Solomon. I saw on your social that you were in Portugal. What was that like?
Look, Portugal was absolutely beautiful. I had a chance to go there and speak and do some work for a company that flew me out. And so I took the family out, wanted to spend some time there and have an extended vacation. I had been to Spain multiple times, but it was the first time I had a chance to go to Portugal. And we had so much fun. We said, we're coming back. That's what we kind of said. And we even said, we're bringing friends. It was so beautiful. I grew up in California, and it reminded me, you know, Portugal is on the west coast of Europe, right?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the west coast. I grew up in California. I had an aunt that lived up near San Francisco in Redwood City. You may have heard of it. And the vegetation, the sequoia trees, the pine trees, topography, the undulations, it just reminded me of San Francisco for some reason. And I visited and toured castles. And, you know, I'm a lover of history, and I love places like that that kind of take you back in time. It was just a very romantic place and just very wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of my time in Portugal.
I will put it on my travel bucket list. So just out of curiosity, we see the NFL continue to expand more and more onto the European continent. I think 8 is the target for next season when it comes to international games. What's your reaction to more and more of American football in Europe?
It's about expansion, and it's about showing other people this wonderful, great game that I've loved since I was a little kid. Absolutely loved it. I would take a beating because I had 3 older brothers, and I'm trying to run around, maybe a little running back, and they love pounding me. And, you know, it's something about us as we're young. We just, I don't know that we love pain, but we just love the physicality. Football gives you that opportunity to sort of gauge your toughness, gauge your strength, gauge your speed. It sort of taps into all those sort of primate kind of mindset, and it's just as a kid I'm talking about, right? Think about all the kids in other parts of the world who don't know about the game. It's kind of like when I played soccer, I was like, this is fun. So they've given us some wonderful games, right? And for us, look what happened when we shared baseball with the rest of the world. It caught fire. And I think football will be the same. And so I look forward to that. I've worked over in London for Sky Sports to help kind of spread the message. Feel like we're spreading the gospel of the NFL. You know, people absolutely love our sport. They really do.
I can't imagine having a Super Bowl anywhere but the United States, but I hear that rumble every now and then. To me, that might be too far over the line, Solomon. This is our game.
That's a bridge too far.
There you go.
You know, I'm all for spreading the love, but it's our game. Look, baseball's done a great job, but where's the World Series played? Right here,
right.
Great U.S. of A. The Super Bowl is one of those things. Now, here's what we'll do. We can fly you in. You can come on in, buy a ticket. There's a lot of people I know that come in from Germany to watch the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
But somehow, over in Germany or over in parts of Europe, they have a huge contingency of fans, and why wouldn't you? You know, you've got Andy Reid, you got Patrick Mahomes, lots of love. So that's what happens, though, over in Europe and other parts of the world, because they're not geographically tied to any one team, they get to pick their team by other means than we would, where we would say, well, I'm from here, that's my team. They're like, oh, no, I like their colors, or I like their uniform, or I like
Taylor Swift.
I like their quarterback. There you go. I like Taylor Swift. So, yeah, exactly. There you go. So their association to a team is totally different than ours. And I like that because it's so playful, it's so wistful, and it's just fun. I think we'll take fans any way we can get them, particularly if you're just enthusiastic and you love the game.
It's always a treat to connect with former NFL cornerback Solomon Wilcots, who's in New Orleans, a little bit jealous, but you sound the same. I can see you on social media. I know what you look like. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I don't know how many interviews you are doing on average, but I feel like I see you everywhere, not to mention your own Sirius XM NFL radio show and the Locked On Bengals podcast. You recently turned 60 in the last few months. How do you manage all the energy that you need to keep up with that schedule, Solomon?
I do work out each morning. I have a prescribed sort of regimen that I do. I'm convinced that when you work out, you take care of your health. I try to get decent hours of sleep. I'm not a night owl, so I don't stay up terribly late, and I try to get to bed at a decent period of time. And then I get up in the morning, I go do my workout. I do believe in managing my caloric intake, and I'm trying to have fun. You know, I travel, yes. We eat, we love the different cuisines, but you have to have a regimen to be able to take care of yourself. And then I love working. I love the work that I do. I think that keeps us vigorous. I think it keeps us productive, and it keeps us loving life. To me, I think as long as we're learning, as long as we're evolving, as long as we're producing, we should be able to produce something with our talent. And when you're doing that, that's what life is all about.
You spent a good portion of your career with the Bengals. Of course, went to a Super Bowl with the Bengals. Now in the AFC North, there's a major problem for the Browns in that one of the best defensive players in the NFL wants out. Myles Garrett has requested a trade. If you're in that Browns front office, how do you manage and navigate that situation?
I'm going to talk to Myles and say, hey, Myles, you know, we love to keep you, man. We just think you're absolutely the best ever. But look, I understand that you've been here 8 years. You want to taste, see what it feels like to win a championship. We would like for that to happen here. But here's what we're willing to do. Give us a list of 5 teams. We're not making any promises. We're going to try to do the best that we can to help you, but we're going to do our best to help the team, right? We're sorry that we could not take advantage of the best years of your career. We still believe the best is yet to come. And I think what you do is you begin to work with other teams. Listen, when the Cowboys traded Herschel Walker to the Minnesota Vikings, you know what they did? They built the dynasty. Even when the Detroit Lions sent a great player like Matthew Stafford to the Rams, yeah, the Rams won a Super Bowl, but look what Detroit's been able to build. They used that great player, the haul they got from that great player, to build a team that's won back-to-back division titles and do things that we haven't seen from the Lions in 50 years. When the Houston Texans traded their best player, just so happened to be Deshaun Watson, they just so happened to trade him to the Cleveland Browns, look what they did with those picks. They won back-to-back division championships. They won playoffs in each of the last 2 years, and they were one of the worst teams in the league. So I think if you're Cleveland, you got to say, hey, this can be a win-win. What you cannot do is become emotional, right, and become irrational, and you definitely can't act out of anger. I think this could end up working for the Cleveland Browns and working for their talented defensive end, Myles Garrett.
What were the biggest limitations for the Bengals this season, falling just short of the playoffs?
Started at the beginning of the year. You saw the slow start. I think the ownership, I think the leadership of this team, and I'm talking at the very top, has to at least take some accountability, right? Because you left Trey Hendrickson hanging on the contract, wouldn't renew him. He was talking about holding out, but then being that the guy that he is, he showed up to training camp, came to work, right? T. Higgins, you left him dangling, didn't sign him to a long-term deal, didn't even really negotiate with him. Just used the franchise tag on him, hoped that he'd show up for work. They seem to want hostages more than volunteers, as Mike Tomlin would put it, right? And then Ja'Marr Chase, left him dangling, particularly the last two. These are players that are essential to the overall productivity and the chemistry of the offense working along with Joe Burrow. So once again, now Joe Burrow is working not with a full deck going into the season, when I was at that first game when they played the Patriots, what I saw was low team morale. And that's where I come back to the front office. You think about any military unit. You think about any team that has to go and do battle. And I'm not talking about necessarily war, but even in athletic contests. Overall team morale is so very important. You want people there because they want to be there, not because they have to be there. And I think you saw a team that was emotionally drained, thinking that if you would do this to Jamar, you would do, what are you going to do to me? And this goes back to Jesse Bates. Remember what they did with him? Franchise tagged him. End of the season, he's gone. Now he's picking off passes seemingly every week for the Atlanta Falcons. So the Bengals have a problem. They got to be careful not to lose the morale of their best players. It happened to Carson Palmer, didn't it?
Definitely is a balancing act. It's not just about the physical. It's also about the mental. And we see the teams that succeed understand certainly that there has to be attention paid to both, and that locker room has to be full of leaders or have some leaders who can keep a team going through adversity. Solomon Wilcots is with us from New Orleans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Looking at your social media and saw the tribute that you posted to your college coach from Colorado, Bill McCartney. Recently passed away. You talked about how tough he made it on you as a Buffalo, but what were the lasting impacts of that relationship in your life, Solomon?
It was everything. I mean, he was a man of deep faith, and in our quiet times, he would talk about that, and he knew how to pour into his players, and he saw something in you, and he would talk to you about that. He said, "And it's my job to get it out of you." And it made sense, right, to understand, why he was so hard on all of us. It ain't like he singled me out. he made men of us. We went there as young boys. There's no doubt about it. I came out of high school. I was 17 when I went off for my freshman year. I played most of my freshman season at 17 years of age. By the time I left there, I was an adult. And he taught us work ethic. That saying, and he had it, and he would always say it, those who stay will be champions. By the time I left, several years later, they won a national championship in 1990 with Coach Mack. When he said those who stay will be champions, he didn't mean that we all get to be on the 1990 team. What he meant, if you stay, work the program, if you persevere, you're going to be a champion in the game of life. And boy, was he right. It was like one of those tough college professors that going through the course, you absolutely hate them. When you come out on the other side, you see the skills that you develop, you see the talent that you have, and you're ready for the world, right? That's the professor you love the most. And Coach Mack was that. He was that for me in many ways.
Deion Sanders is different. He is a guy, though, that has brought a lot of attention to Colorado. What's your reaction to what he's done in Boulder with the Buffaloes, including a Heisman Trophy winner?
You know, Amy, the college game has changed.
It has.
And there's a reason. You know, I covered college basketball. I covered college football. I know that sport, and I just think the people at the NCAA, they abdicated their authority. They did a horrible job. They wrecked it. This was wrecked on their watch. And in comes a coach like Coach Prime, who now is going to participate in this new space that is unregulated, unchecked. By the time this is over now, a lot of the schools are going to be on the hook for some Title IX violations because they collected this money under the collective. They collected this money and have not evenly distributed this money in the way that they're supposed to, okay? And this is law. This is the law of the land. They're just buying talent, just giving it out to players. And somebody forgot that Title IX legislation says that you also have to distribute this equally across genders. But that's going to be a story for another later. You'll be hearing more about it, right?
Right. Yes.
But I'll go back to this. Coach Prime came in and he says, "Look, you know, he's going to win. He's always coached kids, and this team." How quickly he has taken us from a team that won one game before he arrived and now going to bowl games, the average grade point average of the entire football team at the University of Colorado was 3.0. That's the first time it's happened in over 100 years that they've been playing football on that campus. They're winning at the cash register. He's selling out every game. He's selling out every hotel. He's selling out every piece of merchandise. He's driven up your enrollment by over 40%. This is what force multipliers can do. Not many coaches can do that. That's what he's done. So he's winning at the cash register. It's not something that I really never paid attention to, but I think our athletic director, Rick George, pays attention to it, so I started paying attention to it. He's winning in the win-loss column. You throw in the fact that he's winning in the classroom, and that's where it's hard to go against what Deion Sanders is doing. I know a lot of people, it's getting done in a different way. It's not
unconventional.
Some people,
right.
Yeah, look, I work with a lot of companies, and what we've come to know, you either adapt or die. That's how it works. There are a lot of coaches who had been aging, and when it came down, they said, you know what, this is a young man's game. I better get out. Prime came with this energy saying, I'm going to embrace it. You know, hey, I'm going to embrace it. Let's use it, and let's just work with the tools that we've got, and let's win, and let's win that.
Solomon, before I let you go, every year when we talk to you, your passion for helping people not only maintain their health, but improve quality of life physically, that's something we always talk about. So this year, MACI arthroscopic surgery, what's the latest development or what do people need to know?
They now can grow your cartilage. They can go in arthroscopically. They don't have to cut with a huge incision, and they can go in and take just a small piece of your healthy cartilage tissue, and they can grow it in a lab, right? And they can go back and adhere it. It adheres to the healthy tissue and to the bone, and it keeps you from deteriorating to bone on bone or later having to get a total joint replacement in the knee. So MACI is a new innovative medical treatment that repairs cartilage damage using your own cells. It's an autologous science. It's phenomenal. You can go to the website at MACI.com, M-A-C-I.com. to read up and find out more about the procedure and find a doctor in your area.
Not just for former pro athletes, but for average, everyday Americans who want to improve quality
right.
of life. And it always is so cool to hear your passion and to know that matters to you, Solomon. And I know you're managing a lot there on Radio Row. You've got the opening drive on Sirius XM NFL Radio. As a former NFL cornerback in Colorado Buffalo, I'm always impressed. I always admire you, Solomon. It's great to talk to you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy. You know I'm a great admirer of yours as well, so you are the best of friends. We appreciate you. You take care, and thanks for having me.